Now, the text of Scripture that we want to base our message around tonight consists just of three words. You find those words in the verse number 32 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17. Here the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking when he was here on earth. And he says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now, the word remember is a word that we often find in the Scriptures, right from Genesis to Revelation. There are certain things in particular that God wants you and I to remember, things that are to be etched in our mind and in our memory that we're not to neglect, things that we are not to forget. If you think of the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, there you have the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is God's moral law for society right to the very end of time. And in verse 4 of Exodus chapter 20, there we have the fourth commandment. And that commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And there God makes it very clear how we're to keep the Sabbath day, the Christian Sabbath, special, holy, unto the Lord. It's a day that God has promised to own and to bless. And how important it is that we keep the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, for worship, the worship of the Lord, morning and evening. How it is only to be used for works of necessity and mercy. And how it is to be kept for the worship of the Lord and the gathering together of His people around the Word of God. And how important it is that we remember to keep the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord. Think also of what Paul says about the Lord himself in the book of 1 Corinthians as he's speaking to God's people there about the Lord's table. He's actually quoting the very words of Christ and in reference to the Lord's table, the Lord says there, this do in remembrance of me. And there the Lord himself commands us to observe the table of the Lord, the Lord's Supper, and in particular that we might remember Christ and the observance of that supper, remember not only his person, but remember what he has done for us as a sacrifice for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And how important it is that the Lord's people remember the table of the Lord and remember Christ in that supper and what he has done for them upon the cross. Again, think of the words of the apostle to God's people. In the book of Hebrews, there he is speaking to them about those that rule and oversee the work of God. And he says, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. And there the apostle, as he writes to God's people, has encouraged them to respect and honor those that are faithful in the oversight of the work of God as ruling elders and as teaching elders and as preachers in the word of the Lord. How important that is that we remember those and acknowledge such in the day and age in which we live. Well, in our text here tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17 and the verse number 32, you see that we also find this word remember. For the Lord says here, remember Lot's wife. And here we see that the wife of Lot is a woman that is to be remembered. The Lord here singles her out. She is a woman that is not to be forgotten. She is a woman that is not to be discarded. You see, the story of Lot and his wife is a very sad story. Why do we say that? Well, here were a husband and wife who were united in life. But sadly, they were divided in death. Genesis chapter number 11 tells us how Lot was the nephew of Abraham, that great man of God, that great servant of God in the Old Testament. Yes, both Abraham and Lot lived in close company until strife entered in between their herdsmen and into their family. And as a result of that, Lot and Abraham were parted, and how sad and how tragic it is whenever there's a fallout in a family. And one goes one way and one goes another way. And people, our families are very precious, and we should do all we can by God's grace to avoid strife among family members and kith and kin. But as a result of that strife, we're told how Lot and his family go.
and they choose to live in a particular place called Sodom. The Bible says this very emphatically about Lot. It says, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Rather than waiting upon the Lord, he chooses a place that seemed well-pleasing to the eye and to the natural mind of man. And what a sad choice Lot made that day when he cast his eyes upon the well-watered plains of Sodom and he went and pitched his tent there and lived there. He made a wrong choice. A choice that was to bring grief to his heart and vexation to his soul. And how important it is, dear people, that we always rely upon the Lord to lead us and guide us. And I would say to everyone in the meeting that this evening, never choose the way of the world in opposition, as it were, to the way of God and the things of God. For to choose the way of the world and to choose the way of the ungodly, my, it reaps a whirlwind of heartbreak and sorrow and woe and misery. You see, Sodom and Gomorrah, sister city, were noted for their vile sin of sodomy. And God judged these cities in particular by sending fire and brimstone upon them. And before this judgment, we see how God is merciful, and he sends an angel to warn Lot and to warn his family to leave that particular city of Sodom. And the Bible tells us how Lot and his wife and daughters, they initially flee. But then the Bible tells us how Lot's wife, she lingers. And she looks back. And she becomes a pillar of salt. God's judgment comes upon her. She is not saved. Her heart, yes, and her sinful desires still, as it were, pointed and lay in Sodom itself. The result, this woman perished as she looked back. Now, it's this woman in particular, indeed the tragedy of her death and the judgment of the Lord upon her, that the Lord himself wants you and I to remember and to think about and not forget when he says in our text before us tonight here, in Luke 17 and verse 32, he says, remember Lot's wife. The Lord wants you and I to remember this woman. He wants you and I to learn from this woman. You see, there are lessons concerning her life, concerning her death, that must be considered. Yes, these lessons are vital if you and I are to be wise, if we are to be saved from our sin and right with God and know God's salvation in our heart and in our soul. Men and women, young people in the meeting tonight, remember Lot's wife. What can we say then as we think about this text and his command to remember Lot's wife? Well, first of all, we are to remember the fact that she was indeed the wife of Lot. Yes, she belonged to Lot. She was his wife. She was united to this man. And the Bible tells us that Lot was a saved man. That Lot was a righteous man. And they were joined together as husband and wife. Yet despite this close bond in marriage, this woman, she perishes in her sin. And friends, here you and I see a very important lesson, and it is this, that family ties even to those who are Christians, even to those who are saved, even the very closest of family ties, they are no guarantee of God's saving grace in your life. Do not rest upon the close bond of someone else who is saved for your salvation. You see, the Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You see, there is no earthly relationship that can secure you and I a place in God's kingdom and a place in God's family. Friend, if you are to be in God's kingdom and the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says you must have the second birth. As the Bible says, you must be born again. Also, we can say further that Lot's wife was a woman who shared. She shared in all the trials of life that this man Lot faced. She was at his side whenever he was taken captive back in Genesis 14. She and her husband, they raised a family together with all the ups and downs of life. They were united in this. Yet despite such sharing of things in life, a day came when death separated her and her husband, and she perished in her sin. Yes, friend, in the meeting tonight, yes, you may be united in life to someone who is saved, someone very dear to your heart, dear to your home and to your family. Yes, you may share life with them and all the ups and downs of life together. But let me say this, if you are not saved, whenever death comes, you will be separated from that loved one forever and ever. You look at those verses that we read here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Yes, the background here is in particular pointing towards the coming of the Lord. And here the Lord speaks of a separation that will take place between the saved and the unsaved at the coming of Christ, but equally it can be applied whenever a death happens in a home or in a family. Yes, the Lord says there in verse 32, he says, remember Lot's wife. And then down in verse 34, he says these words, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And those words there, they highlight to you and I the great separation that takes place between the saved and the unsaved when Christ returns and the day of judgment takes place. Those words also highlight the great separation that takes place at death between those who are saved and those who are unsaved. Oh, friend, realize this tonight, that if you die unsaved, even though you have had close ties in life with those who are saved, your soul will be lost in hell forever, whereas they will be saved and one day be in heaven forevermore, and you will be eternally separated from that particular person. Also, we can say further here, this woman, Lot's wife, was a woman who shared the privileges that Lot also shared in life. And marrying Lot, she married into a family that knew God's particular favor and blessing. She married into a family where there was prayer and where there was praise to God and worship that was offered up to the Lord. Lot's uncle was Abraham. And how does the Bible describe Abraham? It describes him as a friend of God. She married into a family that knew great privilege, knew great blessing. On top of these privileges, God himself sent an angel to warn her and Lot of the coming judgment upon Sodom. Go back there to Genesis chapter number 19. Look with me there at verses 12 and verse 13 of Genesis chapter 19. It says, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. God's angel came and warned this woman and warned Lot of the judgment that was coming, that this place where they were living was going to be destroyed. The message was, bring them out of this place, get out of this place, lest you be consumed in the judgment of God. What privileges this woman had, this woman enjoyed. She was married to a man who was saved. She married into a family that knew the particular blessing of God, a family that had been singled out by God for blessing. In those Old Testament times, God himself sends an angel to warn her and Lot of the judgment that was coming upon Sodom. What privileges she had, what privileges she enjoyed, we might say. Yet despite those privileges, she was a woman who perished. A woman who perished in her sin. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting tonight, and as you view your life in the light of Scripture, and even what we've been saying tonight and looking at tonight about this woman, Lot's wife, You too can identify with her. You too have known great privilege and spiritual privilege and spiritual blessing, as it were, in your life as you look back over your life's journey. Could it be the case, yes, that you've been brought up in a Christian home, a Christian family? What a blessing that is. To have maybe parents who are saved, a family member that is saved, that knows and loves the Lord. Maybe there's those that work with you in your place of employment, and they're saved. They've witnessed to you. They've spoken to you of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to a church that faithfully preaches the word of God and the gospel. You're no stranger to the gospel. You've often heard the gospel, often heard the word of God. Yes, you have a Bible in your home. You read the Bible. You're no stranger to what the scriptures tell. Yes, you've often been told personally and witnessed to about your need to be saved, your need to get right with God. Maybe you've even been baptized, dedicated as a child by parents unto the Lord, being catechized, learned the catechism. And what a blessing that is to learn the great truths there is found in the catechism that are all bound up and linked to the Word of God. What privileges these are. But friend, understand this. Despite having these privileges, they cannot save you. Friend, you may have all these privileges, and if you die in your sin, your soul will be lost. You will hear that awful sentence from Christ, "I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Oh, as you think of Lot's wife tonight, see this, that privilege cannot save. Privilege in life, even the very best of Christian privileges, so to speak, cannot afford you a place in heaven, a place in God's kingdom. Yes, we see the fact that this woman belonged to Lot. She was Lot's wife. Something else here to note about this woman as we think further about her. As the Lord says, remember Lot's wife. Here was a woman, we can say, who went part of the way toward the place of refuge and toward the place of deliverance. She went part of the way. You go back to Genesis chapter number 19, Genesis chapter 19, and look at what we read about this woman in particular in verse number 26, Genesis 19, verse 26. It says, but his wife looked back. She had gone part of the way with Lot. And it says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She went part of the way. Yet here we read of her looking back, and that really shows us, yes, that she went part of the way towards the place of refuge, the place of deliverance, and toward the place of salvation. Yes, for a while she was touched with the message of God's coming judgment. For a while she went along with her husband Lot as he made his way to the place of refuge. Yes, for a while she was a woman who was under divine constraint, and we see that from the chapter. Look at verse 16. Look at what it says about her. It says there, and while he lingered, that is Lot, the man, that's the angel of the Lord, laid hold upon his hand. And it says, and upon the hand of his wife. Here was a woman who knew the touch of the heavenly messenger upon her. And it says, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city of Sodom. She went part of the way. She had known the touch of the Lord's messenger upon her. But down in verse number 26, we read how she lingered. She looks back. She becomes a pillar of salt, and she perishes. You know, in many ways, this woman was like Agrippa, King Agrippa. Remember, Paul spoke to him. He witnessed to him of the gospel. And what did King Agrippa say to Paul? He says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was almost persuaded, almost saved, but he was not saved. He was not in Christ. Again, this woman was the same. She was almost persuaded, but she was lost. She went part of the way towards the way of deliverance and the way of salvation. And you know, there are many tonight in our world like this woman, many in Enniskillen like this woman. Yes, for a while they show an interest in the gospel. For a while they show an interest in the things of God and the things that concern their soul. For a while they show a concern about their need to be saved and to be right with God. They show that interest for a while. But then they turn back. Then they turn away. And they continue on in their sin, continue on unrepentant, and they die in their sin and are lost in hell without God and without hope. There are many like that tonight in our world, many like that in Enniskillen. The Lord Himself warns us of such in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9 and the verse number 62, right at the very end of the chapter, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow," and notice it, looking back, the same as this woman, this wife of Lot, looking back, he says, "is fit for the kingdom of God." And there are many like that. They appear to show an interest, a concern about their soul, about salvation, about their need of Christ for a while. But then they turn back, turn away from the Lord, turn away from the gospel. Friend, is that a picture of you in the meeting here tonight? Perhaps, yes, there's been times when your heart has been touched by the Lord. Your heart has been stirred by the preaching of the Word of God concerning your need of salvation, your own personal need to trust Christ and for you to repent of your sin. Yes, maybe there's been times in your life when you've been, as it were, on the very verge of trusting Christ and embracing Christ as Savior and as Lord in your life. Like that young man that we read of in the Scriptures, maybe there's been times in your life when you have not been far from the kingdom of God. Yet you've turned back. You've turned away from the Lord. You have not trusted Christ for salvation. Oh, let me warn you tonight that almost being saved is not enough. Not enough to make you right with God and fit you for heaven is not enough. For friend, unless you repent of your sin and believe the gospel, you will perish. Indeed, the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son hath not life." Well, here was a woman who was very near the place of refuge, very near the place of deliverance, yet she turned back. My, she was near to the place of salvation. Is that a picture of you? Remember, there's been times in your life you thought about being saved, near to being saved, yet you've turned back. God forbid that it should be so. We can say something else about this woman as we think about her. Yes, we remember her privileges. Remember that she went part of the way towards the place of deliverance and safety. But as we remember Lot's wife, we can also say here was a woman who perished. And she perished because of her sin. She perished because of her sin. Her sin was one of lingering behind. It says there in verse 26, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." She lingered. She looked back. And this was completely contrary to what she had been told to do by God's messenger. For look at verse number 22. Look at how it begins. The message was, escape Heller. That speaks of haste. Now again, look at verse number 17. Look at the message there from the heavenly messenger. It is, "Escape for thy life." It says, "Haste thee, escape for thy life." This woman was to make haste. With every fiber of her being, with every fiber of her soul, as it were, to the place of salvation and the place of deliverance. But my, she lingers, she looks back. She goes in a path that is completely the opposite to what she's been told to do by the messenger of God. And she lingers back from the place of deliverance and the place of refuge. And you know, friend, tonight when you think of this woman being told to make haste and to escape for her life along with her husband Lot, surely it reminds us of the urgency of the gospel. the urgency, friend, for you to make haste to the place of salvation. The Bible makes it very clear that you and I are to make haste to Christ and to trust Him as Savior. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you're to delay in coming to Christ and trusting Christ to be your own and personal Savior. You turn over just from our Bible reading tonight there in Luke's Gospel chapter 17. Just go over just a few chapters to Luke chapter 19. And here you read of the conversion of Zacchaeus, a tax collector. And you'll see here how Christ deals with this man in mercy. But He also deals with him in urgency about his soul's salvation. Look at Luke chapter 19 and the verse number 5. Zacchaeus was up the sycamore tree. Christ comes to where he is in the city of Jericho. And look at the message of Christ to Zacchaeus at the end of verse 5. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And what did Zacchaeus do? Look at the very next verse. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He made haste to Christ. Friend, if you're not saved in the meeting tonight, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, the Lord has a message for you, and it is this: make haste. Make haste to Christ. Make haste to the place of refuge. As it says in our Old Testament reading, haste thee, escape for thy life, escape and flee to Christ. The message of the gospel is this: you're to make haste to Christ. Why does the Bible say it? Why does the Lord say it? Why? Because when death comes, and death can come very suddenly, very swiftly, when death comes, every hope of salvation is gone. Gone forever. My every day in the news, in the papers, whatever, we hear of people, young people and indeed older people dying suddenly and swiftly, without a moment's notice, gone out into eternity. Life is taken from them, even in the very prime of life. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Do not delay in coming to Christ for salvation. The Bible says, he that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. This woman, she disobeyed the command of the Lord. My, the Lord says, haste, escape for thy life. She lingered, she looked back, she perished. Also, we can say further about her, this woman, sin was one of unbelief. It says there in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 19, it says, she looked back. Why did she look back? Because of unbelief. She did not believe that God would judge Sodom and Gomorrah the way that they said He would. Yes, unbelief kept her back from the place of safety. It robbed her of the place of deliverance and refuge. Indeed, just like Israel of old. What does the Bible say about Israel of old? They did not enter in. Because of unbelief. Unbelief kept them back from the blessing of God and from entering into what God had for them. And this woman, she turned back because of unbelief in her heart. And friend, it is unbelief that keeps us back from Christ, keeps us back from salvation. Is that how it is with you in the meeting tonight? Perhaps you do not believe that God will judge you for your sin. Perhaps you do not believe that Christ is the only Savior. Perhaps because of unbelief, you do not believe that Christ can save you from your sin on account of His great sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Do not listen to the voice of unbelief. Do not listen to the lies of the evil one. Listen to God. Listen to the Word of God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says He is altogether sufficient to save you and I from our sins on account of His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah 53, verse number 5, we read these words about Christ. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You can be saved. Saved from your sin through Christ, through the sacrifice of Christ, through the blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can you be saved? By faith. The complete opposite to unbelief. By faith not in yourself or any works or rite or ceremony of man, but faith in Christ and what he has done for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. You can be saved by putting your faith and trust in Christ and in his blood alone for your salvation and the cleansing away of your sin and the saving of your precious, never-dying soul. Oh, do not let unbelief turn you back from Christ and keep you back from the place of salvation, the place of deliverance. Speaking about the awfulness of the sin of unbelief and what it can do, Bishop J.C. Riley said these words. He says, no sin so surely damns the soul as unbelief. That shows to you and I the awfulness, indeed the seriousness of unbelief. Turning your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter number 3, and just look at the final verse of that chapter, John's Gospel, chapter number 3, and the verse number 36. Here you see the effects of unbelief. It says in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. The person who trusts Christ, who rests upon Christ and his blood is sacrifice alone, has salvation, has everlasting life. But it goes on, and it says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you do not believe on Christ and trust Christ as Savior, the wrath of God abides upon you. It is over you. Friend, if you do not believe the gospel, if you do not believe that you're a sinner who needs Christ as Savior, then you'll perish in hell. You'll perish just like this woman perished. Unbelief turned her back. One final thought just in connection with this woman. We can say also, as we think of Lot's wife tonight, that her doom was terrible. Her doom was awful. It was terrible. Why? Because she perished at the gate of Zoar, the mountain, the place of refuge. Look at verse 23 of the chapter 19 there of Genesis. The message is there at verse 22, escape thee, escape hither, haste thee, for I cannot do anything till I become thither. Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar, and the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Here we see this woman was almost at the place of safety when fire and brimstone fell upon her. In many ways, she was like Abner. You read about him over in the book of Samuel. And he died, he perished outside the city of refuge. And what did David say of Abner? He said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Almost in the place of safety, but outside it he perished. This woman was almost in the place of safety, but outside it, she perished. Friend, yes, it will be terrible for you to perish in sin, perish in a lost eternity in hell, when you've been on the very brink, as it were, of being saved. How sad to be lost in hell, having heard the gospel, having been concerned about your soul and your soul's salvation. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're not saved, if you're not in Christ, your faith is not in Christ, then your soul will be lost in the lake of fire forever and ever after this world, after this scene of time. Yes, her doom was terrible because she was near the place of refuge. It was also terrible because she was cut off in the very act of sin, without a moment's notice.
Verse 26 there, it says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. There's no repentance here. The moment she turned back, the moment she turned her head, as it were, and looked back to Sodom, she became a pillar of salt. She was cut off in the very act of her sin of unbelief and disobedience to the Lord, and to the Lord's message. She was cut off in her sin. It says there, she looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. How sad, how tragic, how terrible to be cut off, as it were, in the very act of sin. And friend, this is something that can happen. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. And in his wrath, people are cut off. They are cut off in their sin. And this is something that God warns you and I about. The Bible says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You think of King Belshazzar that you read about in Daniel chapter 5. He was cut off in his sin, his rebellion against God. Think of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Whenever Israel came out of Egypt, Pharaoh and his army were cut off in their sin and in their rebellion against God and the things of God. Think also of Ananias and Sapphira over in the New Testament time in Acts chapter 5, cut off in their sin and their rebellion against God. In the book of Job, it says this, it says, because there is wrath, beware. Lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. And that's a warning from God. Friend unsaved, it's a warning from God to your soul, that you could be cut off in your sin, turning away from the Lord, turning away from the gospel, turning away from the place of refuge, the place of deliverance, and the place of salvation. You think of what our text here says tonight, Luke's gospel, chapter number 17, and the verse number 32, it says, remember Lot's wife. Remember her. Think about her. Consider her. Friend, in remembering Lot's wife, surely the message is, do not follow her example, lest you perish in your sin. Don't follow her example, but rather follow the example of another woman that we read of in Scripture, the woman of Samaria. You read about her in John's Gospel, chapter 4. She realized her need as a sinner before God, and she came by faith to Christ. She confesses her sin to the Lord, and she trusts in the Lord for her salvation. The Lord, he gave her a wonderful promise. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, the verse 14, he said this. He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And what did that woman do? The very next verse, it says, she said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She embraced Christ. She trusted Christ. She called upon the Lord for salvation, and she was saved that day by the grace, power of God. She prepared for death, for eternity. And you entrusted the Lord as her Savior. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, that's the example for you to follow. Don't follow in the footsteps of Lot's wife. Don't turn away from God. Don't turn away from the gospel. Don't turn away from the message of hope that is found in Christ alone. But rather run to Christ. Trust Christ. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. He shed his blood. He is able. He is mighty. He is willing to save. And this great promise to you unsaved in the gathering tonight is this: him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 253, just the final hymn in our hymn sheet, Almost Persuaded Now to Believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. We'll stand as we sing, and thinking of the words as we sing them. If you're not saved tonight, oh, that these words would be a warning to your heart, and that you would turn this night to Christ by faith and trust him as your own and personal Savior. 253 will stand as we sing. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight. Bless Thy word, bless Thy truth to every heart and soul as I would see the need. We thank Thee for all in the meeting tonight that are all together persuaded and in Christ, who have gathered into Christ, who know Him and trust Him as Savior and Lord, resting upon the ark of His salvation. But Lord, for any in the meeting tonight not saved, maybe as it were halting between two opinions, we pray that even tonight, Lord, by Thy grace and Spirit and power, that they might come to rest by faith alone upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trust upon Him alone for their salvation. Answer prayer. Take us to our homes in safety. Journey with us. Speak on when the voice of man is silent. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain and abide with all who know and love Thee this night and always. Amen and amen.